Hebrews chapter 11. We'll start there. We'll start in verse 1. This is obviously a familiar passage. I'm going to talk about faith a little bit this morning. Faith is one of those things, if you've been in church any length of time, you've heard many, many messages on. But faith is one of these things that we cannot, we never get to a point in our lives where we just arrive at, I just have enough faith now. It's a journey. The Christian life is a journey. And God wants us to grow in our faith for him. And I want to look at this passage, of course, Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith. But let's read the first verse, and then let's pray. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for these faithful people coming out to church this morning. God, we need you this morning. Lord, we've come here to worship you and to praise your name. You are worthy of all of our praise. Lord, I pray that what is done today would be glorifying to you, God. We want you to look down and just be pleased on what is done with the singing and the teaching and the preaching this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at this verse again. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We've been on deputation maybe 8 months or so, and we're new to full-time ministry. My wife and I, we've been involved at our local church. I attend Parkview Baptist Church in Livonia, Michigan. I've been there my entire life, and I grew up wanting to be involved in ministry for years. I was in Rock of Ages prison ministry, going into the prisons, and I really enjoyed that. My wife and I were involved in nursing home and VBS, Sunday school. Never thought, though, that God would call us to go to the mission field 8,000 miles away from everything we have ever known. And God has been showing us some things about faith. I would like to say, you know, I'm saved at 9 years old. And one of the first questions I get asked when I go to a church, they look at my prayer card, then they look at me. And they say, first of all, what mission field are you going to? And I tell them the Philippines. The second question normally is, how old are you? And just to satisfy your curiosity, I am 34 years old. And I started getting gray hair when I was about 12 years old. So that happens. Okay? I'm actually only 9 months older than my wife. And I know it doesn't look like it. My wife is Filipina, and they don't age very fast. My wife still looks like she's 18, and I have aged progressively. So there's some urgency to get to the Philippines very quickly because I don't know how much time we have. But God has really been helping us, and we've learned a lot on deputation. We've met a lot of people and pastors that have encouraged us, and God has showed us some things about faith, and that's kind of what I want to share with you this morning. But in this first verse, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I suppose we've kind of taken a survey of churches across America. We've been to many churches so far. And one thing that I've noticed that I think is missing a little bit is something that we see here in verse number 1, and that is hope. Obviously, our country is in a tough time. There is social unrest. There is divisions. And I'm just seeing, you know, the more churches I go to, statements like America is doomed. There's no hope. Our world is lost. Now, those things are true, but, you know, for a Christian, we have hope. And we have hope in Jesus Christ. And we believe there is hope for the Philippines. When we go to the Philippines, God, we've seen him do great things. We believe there's hope for America, for the Philippines, and for nations all around the world. I like what Jesus said in Matthew 24:14. He said, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come." We believe we're living in the last days. We know Jesus, his coming is imminent. We don't know when. But I believe that God wants us to be busy about the Great Commission. He has not come yet, so there is hope. And the hope should be in Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice something about hope. The Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. To have hope, a Christian must have his faith where it needs to be. Hope, if you would, rests on top of faith. My wife is a nurse practitioner. She went to school, got her master's degree, and I'll talk about that in the morning service a little bit, but she studied in nephrology, so if anyone has a question about kidneys or anything like that, she can probably give you some good advice on that. But my wife has told me many things. You know, they'll have patients come in, and they'll look at the patient's charts, they'll run the test, the blood work, they'll do all that, and they'll look at the case and say, and the doctors would look and say, there's no hope for this patient. And on paper and by their studies and research, they're exactly right. There's some patients that my wife has told me about, there's no reason why this person should go on. These treatments have not worked. We've done all that we can. There is no hope for this person. But there is hope in Jesus Christ. This world, by large, has lost hope. And that is because we have turned far away from God. And we cannot have hope, the hope that God wants us to have, without having our faith where it needs to be. We look at our world that is growing exponentially. The Philippines, one of the largest growing countries in the world, the 13th largest population in all the world. And my wife and I, we talked to our missions director at BIMI there in Tennessee, and just talked to them in general about, you know, how are missions going around the world. And to tell you the truth, and BIMI, one of the larger missions boards in the country, their missionaries, the attrition rate is not very good. The numbers have gone down 10%. And I know for other missions boards, the missionaries are getting older and coming off the field. But there should be this huge surge of young missionaries coming in. But our director, who is the director of East Asia, China, Thailand, Philippines, Taiwan, Japan, said that in the last 2 years, my wife and I, we're the only missionaries going to the Far East. Now, we know there's other mission boards, but this is the most densely populated region in the entire world. And we're not seeing that. We should be seeing this huge influx of new missionaries coming in, but that's not happening. That there is, I believe, a loss of hope. I know things don't look good in this world right now, but there's hope in Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you this morning to have hope. But to have the hope that we need to make sure that our faith is where it needs to be. And that faith needs to be grounded in the Word of God and what God has for us. I want to look at, there's so many men and women of faith that we could look at in the Bible here. We're going to look at Abraham. We're going to continue reading down. Let's read. Let's just start reading there in verse number 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. And he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let's go down to verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. that is in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. So we have many great examples of faith here in the Bible. And I would like to say that in my Christian life, I've just had this great faith. But really, for Christians, we have a choice in this life that we live. First, our opportunity to live by faith is very limited. It's limited to this world, but I would say even within this world, our faith is limited. We see many examples in the Bible. I'll not go into all of them, but I think of the children of Israel when they were there at Kadesh Barnea, that first generation, about ready to go into the promised land. And they had an opportunity there. Remember, they sent in the spies, and 10 were bad and 2 were good. Remember, Joshua and Caleb came back. But they had an opportunity to do something by faith. And you remember, the people believed those bad spies, and they said, we're not going in. There's giants in the land. There's no way that we can go in and take over, take the promised land. It just can't happen. And if you look in the following chapter, God talks about how that this nation, you had your chance to do something by faith. Now you're going back into the wilderness for 40 years. That generation, Joshua and Caleb, you'll get to go into the promised land and your children. But there was a generation there that didn't get to see what God had for them by faith because they didn't believe. In this life, we have only one opportunity to live by faith. Maybe God is bringing something into your life that you need to do by faith. And don't take that opportunity for granted. You might not get that chance again. That nation went into the wilderness for 40 years. They never got to see what God was going to do for them by faith. There are two ways that you can live this Christian life. One of them is by sight, and the other is by faith. By faith, we get to see what God can do. Had they gone into the promised land, they would have been victorious. Had they just obeyed what God wanted them to do by faith, they would have seen a miracle. But they chose to live by sight. That's the choice that we have as Christians. Do we live by sight or do we live by faith? Living by faith, there's some things that you're going to have to overcome. If it was easy, all Christians would just live by faith. I'd like to say that I've lived my whole Christian life by faith, but to tell you the truth, I've lived a lot of my life just by sight. Sight is a very comfortable place to live. By sight, we can get around the scariness. You think of Peter when he had to walk on that water. He had to step out by faith. That was a scary thing to do. But Peter, he had to step out and do that. And by stepping out in faith, Peter got to see something that no one else ever got to see. That's what happens when you step out by faith. It can be a little scary. But mark it down. There are things that God wants to do in your life, in your church's life, that you're only going to see by faith. We could choose to live by sight if we want, but when we live by sight, we're limited to what we can do in our strength and our power. They said, we're not going into the promised land. We can't do it. God said, okay. God was still merciful and long-suffering to them. They went into the wilderness. God still provided for them, still gave them manna. Their food, their clothes and their shoes did not wax old, but they didn't get to see what God was going to do by faith. So I want to encourage you this morning. I talked about hope a little bit there, that hope rests on faith. And we need to have more hope in this world. We need to have the hope that God is going to do his work throughout all the world, in the Philippines and all nations of the world. We need to have that hope. But first, we need to have faith that it can rest on. And so let's look at the life of Abraham a little bit this morning. And I want you to learn some things from the way Abraham lived his life by faith. He pleased God. Because our lives are so limited and they're finite, without faith, we cannot please God. We're on this earth. We're saved. I believe the majority in here are probably saved. God wants us to please him by faith, and there's no other way. So Christians, we need to strengthen our faith. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I think I've been more of a faith visitor than living by faith. That's a hard thing to do, but we all need to improve in this. Faith is what pleases God. We know that to be saved, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We would all agree to that. To be saved, it's going to require faith. And God does the miraculous thing. Jesus said, you must be born again. And God does that when we place our faith and trust in him. God will save you. And that's his promise. That's a miracle that God does. But our faith does not end at salvation. For a Christian, we go from one faith to the next faith. Mark down, after you get saved, God has something else that he wants you to do by faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. I want to look at the first thing in verse number 8. Verse number 8, the Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. So the first thing we need to understand in living a life by faith, we all need to grow in our faith. We're going to need to just obey what God has said. Abraham was told to do something, and he wasn't given all the information. It says that Abraham went out not knowing whether he went. Sometimes God is going to give you something to do by faith, and you're not going to know all the details. God was pleased by Abraham. He was called to go out from Ur of the Chaldees. Remember, he left. If Abraham was coming out on deputation today, he was here this morning, and you ask Abraham, well, where is God called you to go? And you have to say, I don't know. I don't know exactly where God is having me go, but God's called me to go. I don't know how much support Abraham would get. When we come in, a missionary, you know, you have to have all your ducks in a row. You have to tell everyone exactly what you're doing and all your future plans. But to tell you the truth, there's a lot of things that I don't know. I believe God wants us to go to the Philippines and start a church, and I'll talk about that in the morning service a little bit, but there's a lot of unknowns. And living a life by faith, just know this, that there's going to be some things that you don't know, and you have to leave it in God's hands. That is what faith is for. We don't understand exactly how God would save a person, regenerate their soul, but that's what faith is. We leave that in God's hands. Faith is giving up control to God. So the first thing, I'm going to show you just three things this morning, three things. So the first thing is a lack of knowledge. Abraham had to overcome this lack of knowledge. I think one of the biggest things that Christians are going to have to overcome is fear. You know, our world is just completely controlled by fear. You look at the media, it doesn't matter which news network you look at, fear is what controls a nation. In the Philippines, fear will keep people from even going outside. With the whole pandemic and everything, fear is everywhere. But fear is the antagonist for faith. A person that cannot get control of the fear that comes into their life, we all have fear that comes in, but a person that just lives under fear and all their steps are just ordered by fear, they're going to have a very hard time with faith. Because faith will require that we step over fear. Well, in fact, when we go from a life of sight to living by faith, you're going to have to cross over fear. It just works that way. We look at Abraham in Genesis 22:2. We'll continue in his life here. You don't have to turn there. The Bible says, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. So here we see one of the first examples of the faith that Abraham has to have in his life. God asked Abraham to take Isaac and to sacrifice him. And you see even here that God does not give all the information. Well, how is this going to work? We see that we know God promised Abraham that he was going to have the promised son. He was going to make unto him a great nation. And Abraham waited a long time for that. And now God wants him to go and sacrifice his son. Living a life by faith, there's some things that you're going to have to overcome, and that's fear. I'll tell you the truth. I lived a lot of my life in Michigan, and I'm kind of a homebody, to be honest with you. I'm a Michigander, and I never really traveled very much, and my wife kind of pushed me out of my comfort zone a little bit. When we got married, we started going on missions trips to the Philippines. And I remember that first trip going to the Philippines, flying over the Pacific Ocean. I felt like I was Christopher Columbus or something, just going over the ocean. I thought that was so awesome. But I remember getting there and just being overwhelmed by the need. The Philippines is a third world country. There is need just everywhere. In the city of Manila, almost 20 million people, there's over 1 million homeless children. I mean, the need is just everywhere. And the thought of, man, would God call me to go to the Philippines one day? That scared me. Because I had everything I ever wanted right here in Michigan. All my family is here. All my comforts are here. God, do you really want me to go 8,000 miles away from everything I know and love? Is this what you want me to do? To live a life by faith. I'm not saying God would call everyone to go to a foreign nation, but know this, to live a life by faith, you're going to have to overcome some fear. Abraham had to overcome that. Abraham, he didn't hesitate. He obeyed God. We see all throughout his life here, and he went up to sacrifice his son. And you know that God provided another sacrifice, and he didn't have to do that. But God wants to test your faith. How is your faith this morning? Just know this, there's some things that we're going to have to overcome. There's a lack of knowledge. There's fear. And then next, I want to look at one of the hardest things that I've had to overcome in my life is the element of time. Abraham was called to go out of Ur of the Chaldees. He was told that he was going to have a son of promise. And you know what happens? Abraham, he's 75 years old. I'm sure at that time, Abraham thought, man, does God really want me to have a son me in my old age? And I believe Abraham believed what God wanted by faith. I'll just trust. But you know what happened? Time started to go by. He's 75 years old. A year goes by. 2 years goes by. Maybe Abraham starts to question. His faith is still strong in God, but time keeps going by. And know this, when God asks you to do something by faith, sometimes you're just going to have to wait. You're just going to have to wait. When my wife and I talked to our pastor and our parents about going to the Philippines, in my eagerness to go, I just wanted to get up and go. I work in IT. I work remotely. My last month of work is in October. And I thought, man, you know what? We'll just go to the Philippines right now. I can work remotely. It's not going to be a problem. We'll have everything we need, and we can just go to the Philippines right now. And God made it very clear to me, Tom, you need to wait. You need to go on deputation. It's not going to be easy, and it's going to be work. And Tom, you're going to have to wait a little bit. Now, I have something for you. Keep your faith on me. Keep your eyes on me, Tom, but you're going to have to wait. Can you wait? And time goes by here for Abraham. Years go by. Abraham's, he doesn't have Isaac. You know the rest of the story until he's about 100 years old. Can you imagine waiting that long? And here's the greatest temptation when God gives us something to do by faith, that is to take things into our own hands and just make things work out. We see Abraham's wife, Sarah. Nothing had happened yet. The promised child was not born yet. And remember, he goes and she says, you know, take my handmaid Hagar and have a son by him, and that'll be the way that God is going to do this. You know, nothing's happening yet. Why don't we just, let's just make something happen. And I'm so tempted to do that. I'll be honest with you, I love math. I love looking at, trying to figure out how we can do this, how we can make this all work. And I want, personally, to have a complete understanding of exactly what God's going to do every step of the way, a week, a month, a year. I want to have it all planned out. We're going to be at this percentage by this date and this percentage by this date. But God has had to humble me in that. I'll tell you, there's some days when we'll go and we'll call 50, 100 churches and we won't get any calls back. And that can be kind of discouraging. Then you know what will happen? We'll have a church that'll call me just out of the blue. I've never called them, didn't know anything about them, and they're inviting us to their missions conference. But God does that. God works in mysterious ways. But God, it works better living a life by faith when we know that God is in control And we're not going to always know everything that God is going to do. Jesus told his disciples, there's many times throughout the Bible and the Gospels that there was something that the disciples didn't quite understand yet. There was teachings that Jesus would do when Jesus would wash the feet of his disciples. I remember one passage there, Peter asked Jesus, why are you washing my feet? And Jesus just makes it very clear to him that what I do now, you know not, but you will know hereafter. God might be asking you to do something by faith and you just don't understand. God, what do you mean by this? You're just going to have to wait a little bit. And that understanding will come later. There's a passage in Daniel where God is telling Daniel about some of the end times events. And Daniel is obviously worried. God, what is this all about? What are you going to do here? And God says to Daniel, this is sealed unto the end when knowledge is revealed. God has some things for us that we're not going to know, but he wants us to proceed in faith. That's what pleases him. That's what pleases him. These great men and women of faith, Abraham, if we look in Hebrews 11, verse number, let's read down in verse number 13. The Bible says, these all died in faith, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Abraham, we see that he gets up and he leaves Ur of the Chaldees, and he leaves. He doesn't hesitate. Abraham, one of the richest men in the world, no doubt, Abraham had a lot to leave, but he got up and he left. And one of the things I think that made that easy for Abraham, and this is going to help you when you're living a life by faith, is to realize that we're just pilgrims in this world. We're just passing through. I love that old song about this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Christians, let's not feel too at home in this world. We're just pilgrims and passing through. If God asks you to do something by faith, it should be easy. Just like Abraham got up and he left, not even knowing where he was going. Abraham had faith. And that's what we need. Sometimes I think we get too rooted and comfortable in this world. And it's not bad to have material things. But you know what? Those things can ensnare us. My wife and I, we lived a life going to church, going on missions trips, trying to do what God wanted us to do. But we started to accumulate things. And we started to climb that corporate ladder of success, so to speak. And we got really comfortable. All the things that we wanted, God allowed us to get. And it was only by his grace, but I think God was showing us some things. I remember very vividly, we were in the house that we wanted, our dream home, and we were coming home from, there's a private beach there, and sometimes we take the girls down to the playground, and we were coming back, and I remember driving past a jet ski in someone's driveway. I thought, man, I could really be happy. I don't have a jet ski yet. That's the next thing. And you know what? The material things in this world can really ensnare us, and we get into this vicious cycle where we get this thing, and then, wow, that was really great, and it's almost like this high we get, and then we go to the next thing, and to the next thing. But we're just pilgrims on this earth. Those things will be left behind. If I were to die tomorrow, all those things that I have accumulated and piled up in my garage, you know what? They're gone. They're of no value. Yet we spend so much of our life just accumulating, getting things, and looking to the next best thing. And God just showed me, Tom, you know, I could give you that jet ski, but Tom, I have something better for you. Would you trust me by faith? Would you go to the Philippines by faith? Tom, it might be a little scary. You're not going to understand everything along this journey of faith. But would you go? Tom, would you cross over that fear? You know, one of the scariest things was just telling everyone what we were going to do. Of course, we were very excited, but that was kind of fearful. My parents are Christians. They go to the same church we go to, but I had to tell them, Dad, we're going to be leaving, and we're probably not going to see you very much anymore. You know, we have our three girls, and yeah, that was hard. That was a hard thing. There's some fear there. You know, it's a third world country. It's Philippines is a beautiful place. It's They're very open to Americans coming in ever since World War II, very open to the gospel, and I'll talk about that in the morning service too, but it's a third world country. It's not the same. They don't have clean water. The island that we're praying about starting a church on is it's very remote, and they don't have electricity all the time. And I thought, man, God, I have to put my faith in you because by sight, this doesn't make sense. By sight, I'm afraid. God, please help me to have faith, the faith that I need. And that's what God's been showing me in the life of Abraham. We have to have faith. We're going to have to understand that there's going to be some things along the way we're not going to understand. There's going to be some fears that we're going to have to overcome. And then time. We're going to have to overcome that time. It was nearly, I've studied this out. Just fear in the Bible, the phrase fear not is in the Bible over 300 times. You can look at all throughout all the stories in the Bible, you'll see a fear not in there. And why is that in there? It's in there because God knows that fear is something that will stop Christians from having the faith that they need in God more than anything else. Fear not. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary to tell her about the birth of Jesus and how Jesus was going to be used, there was a fear not there. Because there was a lot of fear that would come up from a woman who wasn't married yet to have a child that was not looked well upon in those days. There's a lot of fear to be overcome. When the angels came to the shepherds, fear not, for I bring you good tidings. Fear not. And Christians, I want to encourage you this morning, fear not. God has things, God has not returned yet. We're still breathing. God has something for us to do by faith. We go from faith to faith. God has saved you. He's put you on this earth for a purpose. He wants you to live by faith. So time. I want you to, the last thing you're going to have to overcome is comfort. Comfort. I'll be honest, I've lived kind of a cushy life. Even growing up as a child, we were not rich, but I had the kind of parents, and my mom specifically, she just kind of babied me. When I got up in the morning, my mom always had the breakfast out on the table, and every morning, I'm not kidding, and there was juice, and she had my little multivitamin there, the Flintstones, and just gave me everything and just kind of pampered me a bit, and I've just been used to living a life full of comfort, but comfort is something that you're going to have to get some victory over that, because God, when he asks you to do something by faith, you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone. When we go to give the gospel to someone, you go to your neighbor to talk to, you know what the first thing that comes up in your mind? For me, it's fear. What is this person going to think of me? God has called us to go into all the world, to preach the gospel to all nations, and that's going to require us to overcome some fear. The fear of what are these people going to think of me? And comfort. Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone? There's so many men and women in the Bible. I think of John the Baptist who lived a life I'm not saying you have to go and live in the wilderness. My wife and I joke about that a little bit. But you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone. I like the passage in Deuteronomy 2 where Israel, they're in the wilderness. They're going around a mountain there. I'll just read this little passage from Deuteronomy 2:3. The Bible says, ye have compassed this mountain long enough, turn ye northward. God said that the children of Israel, you're going to go and you're going to pass Esau, and there's going to be some things that you have to pass by. But I think the children of Israel got comfortable. And God told them to go and to turn northward. They didn't know exactly where they were going. God did not give them that information. You'll see this pattern all throughout the Bible. God will tell them, God will give this announcement of faith, and then God just wants them to go and to trust him. But God told them to go. And ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Christians, we have our comforts. Sometimes God is going to ask you to do something by faith and he'll have you step out of your comfort zone. God has done so many things since we've been on deputation. We were able to sell our house, which is a miracle in itself. My wife and I worked very hard in our careers, and we finally got into the house we thought we were going to grow old in. We were going to retire, and we had our bedroom on the main floor. We had it all ready, and God started to change our desires. I'm going to talk about that this morning a bit. But we had to step away from all that comfort. And when we went to our pastor and we told him we were going to the Philippines and we told our family, well, we started making a list. This is all the stuff that we're going to have to do to get to the Philippines. One of them is selling our house. We can't keep this house. We have to sell it. This comfort, this great comfort that we had in our lives, we're going to have to step away from that. And in our minds, that was the biggest obstacle to be overcome. Our house, the price range that it was in, there's a kind of a small market for it. And so we thought, well, we'll just put that towards the end of deputation. We've heard all kinds of stories about missionaries going out, going to the mission field, but man, they can't sell their house. It's just this big thing that has to be overcome. And God, we know that you've called us to go to the Philippines. We're going to go by faith, and we're going to sell this house. We don't know how we're going to do it, but we just kind of left that aside. Long story short, there's a man that was in our community, and he posted something on our community Facebook page and said that he was looking for a house in our neighborhood and in our price range. We thought, wow, that's kind of strange. We didn't have a realtor or anything at the time, and my wife kind of reached out to them and said, hey, if you want to come and see our house, you can, but you know, we don't have a realtor, we're not ready. The man came in our house, I'll never forget, sat there at our couch and said, I want to buy your house. I thought, man, is God really doing this right now? God, I know we put our faith in you, but sometimes when God does a miracle through faith, it kind of surprises you. It shouldn't, but to me, I was so shocked. God, you're really doing this. This faith is really real. And it happened so fast that I want to buy your house, and how much do you want for it? So we told him the amount, and we worked that out. We didn't even go through a realtor, went to the title company, and we were able to sell our house, and God did that. You're going to see some things by faith that you wouldn't see any other way, but you're going to have to step out by faith, and you're going to have to be able to put these things aside, just like Abraham did. Abraham got up, he left Ur of the Chaldees. God, you're going to make unto me a great nation. You're going to take me to the promised land. God, I'm going to step out by faith. I'm going to step away from my comfort, and I want to see what God can do. I love this verse in Hebrews chapter 11, 13. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. I like this part. And were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. They were persuaded. Are you persuaded by what God has in his word? The promise he has in his word? Are you persuaded by the things that God would give you to do by faith? These people were persuaded that whatever they could do in their lives, what God was going to have for them was going to be better. We need to get to that point in our lives. God, whatever you want for me to do, that's what I want. God, I'm persuaded of that. I know I'm just a pilgrim on this earth. My time on this earth is short. God, I want to step out by faith. I'm persuaded of that. And then in verse 10, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. If Abraham was mindful, maybe he would have just returned to all the comfort. Why go through all this, all these tests of faith by God? Why is God putting me through all of this? Because they desired a better country. God had given them something to do by faith. Their faith was in him. They put their hope rested on that faith. We know that even if it doesn't come to pass in this life, we're just going to do that because we're persuaded that what God has for us is better than what we can do for ourselves. They were completely persuaded. So they desired a better country. I had a fun time talking to my boss and explaining to him what we were going to do. I've worked in the IT field for almost 12 years now, and it's been a really good career. I've really enjoyed it. But I had to explain to my boss, you know, most of the time when a person leaves, it's to go on to, you know, another IT job, a step up the corporate ladder, maybe into management or something like that. And I had to explain to him, no, not getting another IT job. We're leaving, and we're leaving the country, and this is what God wants us to do. And my boss told me in plain terms, Tom, I don't understand exactly what you're doing. Tom, I think you're committing economic suicide. Why are you doing this? But I had to explain to him, you know what, God has something for me to do by faith. And that's what I'm convinced of. And many people have looked at me kind of sideways. You know, you're taking your kids, your beautiful girls to a third world country, and, you know, what's going to happen to them? And are you going to be protected? We want to see what God can do by faith. We're not going to the Philippines, and because Tom and Jen Beeman are such great people, and these are all the things that we've learned, and we're just gonna get things done. No, we want to see what God can do by faith. We're not interested in what we can do in our own strength by sight. We've lived a lot of our lives by sight, and we want to live by faith, not by sight. And I hope that was a help to you. I know that was a lot, but there is hope, and there's hope in Jesus Christ. Just by way of review, to have faith, to have the faith that God wants us to have, to live a life by faith, we're going to have to overcome the fact that there's going to be some things that we don't know. There's going to be a lack of knowledge. When we step out in faith to live a life by faith, there's going to be a lack of knowledge. And then we're going to have to overcome some fear. God asks you to do something by faith, just know that there's going to be some fear to be overcome, and that's normal. If fear comes up, know that God's going to have to do this. When we step out by faith, it's like, God, if you don't do this, we're just going to fall flat on our face because we have no other way to make this happen. You have to do it. So fear, and then time. Just know this, when God gives you something to do by faith, there's going to be the element of time. And there's going to be this temptation to take things into your own hand and to just kind of make it happen like Abraham had done there. But we're just going to have to wait. Can you wait on the Lord? I love that song this morning about waiting on the Lord. How timely. Let's wait on the Lord, and then comfort. We're going to have to overcome some comfort. In our country, we are blessed, and we don't have to be ashamed of that. But you know, with all that blessing, there's great responsibility. God wants us to do something with that prosperity, the blessing that he has given to us. God wants us to use it for his glory, to get the gospel into all the world. So I hope this was help to you. These are some of the things that God has been showing me. This is not something that I have arrived in, but it's a journey. It's a journey of faith, and these are some things that just know that you're going to have to overcome, and God can help you with that. Let's pray, and then we'll be done this morning. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for being just so good to us. Lord, help us to live a life by faith and not by sight. God, help us to learn from Abraham, Lord, that, Lord, you're going to be with us. And help us to be convinced, God, help us to be persuaded that what you have for us by faith is going to be better than what we can do for ourselves. Help us to have hope, and Lord, help that hope to rest in faith in the promises of your word. When we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.